live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the UK has overtaken Italy as the country with the highest number of COVID-19 fatalities in Europe. The Green Party leader says he hopes a programme for government can be agreed by the end of this month. Negotiations are due to start in earnest on Thursday afternoon. Pub representatives are meeting with government officials this week in a bid to discuss reopening bars sooner than the proposed date. An extra 200 people are receiving the special COVID-19 people in Donegal this week. Nationally, 598,000 people getting the payment, and the Foyle MP and SCLP leader Colm Eastwood pays tribute to John Dallet. Later in the bulletin, we'll have sports news with Oisin Kelly. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation this evening that the UK has overtaken Italy as the country with the highest number of COVID-19 fatalities in Europe. It comes as new figures show 250,000 people with coronavirus have lost their lives worldwide. With more, here's Shane Beattie.
The number of confirmed COVID-19 cases has topped 3.6 million. 252,000 people have died, including 69,000 in the US, the country worst affected by the deadly outbreak. New modelling there now predicts 134,000 people will die of the virus. Another 436 people have lost their lives in England, Scotland and Wales, bringing the death toll past 29,000. It makes Britain the worst affected European country, just ahead of Italy, where some 4.5 million citizens have begun going back to work and reuniting with relatives. Globally, there are now 108 potential vaccines in development, including 8 which have been approved for clinical trials.
The Green Party leader says he hopes a programme for government can be agreed shortly and that the negotiations will be over by the end of this month. Eamon Ryan agreed the talks will start on Thursday afternoon after he met today with Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin, the Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil leaders. The Greens have entered talks after getting commitments that the incoming government will work towards a 7% reduction in emissions each year. Eamon Ryan says he hopes the process can now move quickly.
My preference would be to kind of thinking about, well, we should try and get this done by the end of the month. Within this, it'll take a little bit of time then to go to we probably have to do a postal and ballot like other parties, so and that'll take a period of time, but I think the Irish public would expect this to be done in a matter of weeks rather than longer, and I'd share that.
An extra 200 people are receiving the COVID-19 payment in Donegal this week. Nationally, the total number of recipients is now 22,700 receiving it in Donegal. Nationally, it's 598,000. The payment is being received by 7,000 more this week than last. Around 1.2 million people are relying on state supports for all or part of their incomes. With more, here's Andrew Louth.
Around 427,000 employees have received at least one payment under the temporary wage subsidy scheme, which has been paid out to 51,000 employers. The total paid out through the scheme so far is €785 million. Meanwhile, numbers receiving the unemployment benefit went up slightly as well. Elizabeth Canavan from the Department of the Taoiseach explains.
Today, approximately 598,000 people will receive their weekly payment of €350. The value of the weekly payment is in the region of €209 million.
Over 250,000 people receiving that payment are under the age of 34. Ian Power, CEO of Spunout.ie, says it's a worrying figure.
A lot of students, particularly obviously who would have been in part-time work previously, are currently out of work. And a lot of people perhaps who would have planned to work over the summer to fund studies or other activities, you know, will be out of those jobs.
57% of those receiving the payment are men, while Dublin, Cork and Galway are the top three counties most impacted. 128,000 people receiving the unemployment payment worked in the hotel and food service sectors. However, under the current roadmap, nearly 80,000 people working in construction could be removed in the coming weeks.
Gardaí have used their COVID-19 enforcement powers 139 times since they were introduced. There were 52 incidents of spitting or coughing at officers, while anti-spit guards had to be used 28 times over a four-week period. Meanwhile, there were 1,172 incidents where other offences, including drink driving, disqualified drivers or drug seizures, disclosed. On Friday, 21 of the 13,324 drivers who came to a Garda checkpoint were asked to turn around for not having a valid reason for travel. All agreed to do so. Representatives of publicans are meeting with government officials this week to discuss the reopening of bars sooner than the proposed date. They're not due to reopen until the 10th of August, but this could be brought forward to the end of June. With more, here's Kim Buckley.
The government's roadmap for reopening the country says licensed premises can go back to work in phase 5 starting from the 10th of August. But the two main trade groups have issued a number of proposals in order to reopen in phase 3 at the end of June, along with cafes and restaurants. CEO of the Licensed Vintners Association is Donal O'Keefe.
We've had some feedback from government to suggest they're open to meeting us. The date remains to be confirmed, but we look forward to meeting them. It has an enormous impact on the normal operation of bars. And our proposals are radical. They'll fundamentally change how we operate.
Among the proposals bar owners have put forward would be to limit the numbers allowed in pubs at once, require customers to stay in their seats and operate a table service, and ban live music and DJs. Owner of Paris, Texas Bar and Restaurant in Kilkenny, Pat Crotty, believes it could work.
The big figure that is frightening people is the 10 square metres for a table of four. And people are saying, well, we can't provide 10 square metres in a little pub. But maybe you can, because you have natural little alcoves and small spaces which will provide their own safety, because you will be the only one in it.
The Licensed Vintners Association says it would be up to each individual pub whether it would make financial sense to reopen with a limited capacity.
The East Derry MLA John Dallet has died. Paying tribute this afternoon, the SDLP leader Colm Eastwood said John Dallet was a fierce and forensic champion of people and the public interest, as well as a good and loyal man. He was first elected to the then Coleraine Borough Council in the 1970s. He's been a member of the Assembly since its inception. His wife Anne is a native of Inishowen. She and Mr. Dallet were staunch supporters and regular users of the Lough Foyle ferry service. Mr. Dallet also campaigned strongly in support of Malinhead Coast Guard Station when it was under threat, arguing that it served a highly important role in safety north of the border. There's been a widespread welcome for confirmation that the executive will match fund city deals with the city deal in Derry, now with the potential to attract £210 million of investment into the region. Sinn Féin MLA Martina Anderson says there is now potential to transform not just the economy of Derry and Strabán, but that of the whole of the North West, including Donegal.
The Derry and Strabán region is now sitting with a financial package which includes money from the British government and the match funding today. In this package, it's going to be transformative for the entire Northwest region and required the collective attention and action of the executive, both governments and other parties. And following years of unrelenting Tory austerity, which has deprived Derry and Strabán, and indeed the wider region, of much needed public services and investment. And we can see the clear benefits now of having a local executive in place. We will always have much more to do, particularly in the face of a global pandemic and the crisis that has unfolded. This funding and last week's rescue package for the City of Derry Airport will be central to our economic recovery when the crisis has ended. So it will also be fundamental to ensuring we realise the vast economic potential of the entire Northwest region.
And that was MLA Martina Anderson there. Gardaí and Donegal say the latest scam targeting consumers is capitalising on the fact that more people are shopping online as a result of the current global pandemic. With more, here's Eamon Torsney.
In this instance, a phishing email purporting to be from DPD has been sent to a customer in Donegal claiming that the courier was unable to deliver a parcel. The consumer is then prompted to fill out a contact form. However, according to the DPD website, there are a number of ways to identify a fraudulent email, including poorly written sentences, an impersonal greeting, or a vague email address. Gardaí are warning people to be wary of links contained in emails requesting a small fee to resend the parcel, which requires personal or financial details. As is advised upon receiving similar emails, people are asked to contact the company directly, to not click on the link or provide any personal details, and to simply delete the email. Gardaí and Donegal are also urging people to alert any elderly or vulnerable people to such scams, and if you do fall victim, to contact Gardaí immediately.
Gardaí and the county are investigating a number of incidents of criminal damage over the past week, with windows broken in Letterkenny, a fence badly damaged in Buncrana, and a mini digger burnt out in an arson attack in Falkara. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Between 8pm on Thursday and 5pm on Friday, a mini digger that had been parked in a bog at Upper Dromore Fulcara was burnt out. Gardaí and Milford are investigating. Meanwhile, Gardaí in Buncrana are seeking witnesses to an incident of criminal damage that happened at a home in Drumard, Millfield in the town, at around 4:30 yesterday morning. The fence at the home was pulled down and damaged. This is not the first time that this fence has been damaged, as it was damaged a couple of times recently in addition to this incident. The damage caused on this occasion, however, was substantial. Gardaí say they are particularly interested in speaking to two males observed in the area at around the time of the incident. Meanwhile, two windows were broken in criminal damage incidents being investigated by Gardaí in Letterkenny, one at Ashlawn between 6am and 7am last Thursday morning, and the other at Meadowbank Park between 9 o'clock on Friday night and 2:45 on Saturday afternoon.
The British government's chief scientific advisor says it may be useful to wear masks when it's not possible to socially distance. Patrick Vallance told the Commons Health Committee the risk of getting COVID-19 at 1 metre is about 10 to 30 times higher than at 2 metres. Meanwhile, a Letterkenny surgeon who's helped design a template for homemade masks says it's important that people wear masks correctly if they are to be effective. Michael Sugru was speaking on today's 9 till noon show.
If you're going to wear a mask, you should keep it on in public without touching it. You should remove it and then wash your hands. So it doesn't replace the other important aspects of hand hygiene, social distancing, or anything like that. So it is important it's not around your neck. It's not important that you touch it with your hand. So the best thing to do is, if you were going into a shopping centre or a shop, is to put the mask on before you get into your car. Leave it on and assume it's part, like glasses. For those of us who wear glasses, we don't take them on and off unless you're, you know, generally for people who are short-sighted. You have to leave it on. Don't interfere with it at all. And then when you go home, take it off. Wash your hands. If you touch your mask, you're supposed to wash your hands immediately, because it's the outside of the mask potentially has contamination.
The Bishop of Raphoe says he would like to see churches ready to open for personal prayer by tomorrow week, Wednesday, May 13th. Bishop Alan McGuckian is also hopeful of the return of families to funeral masses in the coming days, but strictly within the 10-person only limit. In a letter to priests in the diocese, Bishop McGuckian stresses the gradual reopening must be done in a planned way, with provisions made for hand hygiene, social distancing and public safety. He was speaking on the 9 till noon show.
Our churches have been completely closed for many weeks now, and the first step is that we want them to be open for people to pray quietly. I have asked the priests to prepare for that. That will involve cordoning off benches, making sure that social distance is clear, making sure that everything is in place. In some places, that could be in place by the day after tomorrow. In other places, it could be early next week. So please God, the churches will be open, and there will be a regime in place to make sure that they are safe, that the hygiene is of the highest. Where there is a candelabra, making a very clear sign that people must be very careful around flames, particularly with hand sanitizer, which I really want to say, where candles will be lit, because we all have this alcohol on our hands these days. People must be extremely careful. So signage around that. Some thought has gone on, and the priests are talking among one another, and I know some priests have already been phoning around potential Rota groups within the parishes to make sure that this is done well.
And that was the Bishop of Raphoe, Bishop Alan McGuckian. And you can read that full letter to the priests of the diocese on our website, highlandradio.com. Bishop McGuckian also spoke along with the Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, Bishop Andrew Forster of the Church of Ireland. You can hear both speak on the podcast of the 9 till noon show. That's on our website. Or you can watch the Facebook live feed, which is available on the Highland News and Sport Facebook page. It's the evening news on the Highland Radio, 16 minutes past 5 o'clock. Time for sports news. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with Gaelic Games, and Dublin senior footballer Dean Rock is remaining hopeful that there could still be some championship action come the autumn. Taoiseach Liam Radger said last week it may be possible to play the All-Ireland Championship behind closed doors, but has left the decision with the GAA. Six-time All-Ireland winner Rock says players have been kept informed.
different phases were drawn up last Friday, and that was communicated with everybody. And, you know, that's kind of barring any blips, you know, where hopefully we might be back to some sort of championship maybe in September or whatever it is. But, you know, I think there's talks of maybe getting the club championship back up and running first to see how it all works. So, you know, if you're back playing football sometime in August, whether it be club or county, you know, I think that would be probably the best situation we could find ourselves in at the moment.
Meanwhile, Connacht GA President Jerry McGovern believes the risk of a return to playing action this year is too high, and he's urged the association to focus completely on the 2021 All-Ireland Championships. McGovern is a member of the GA's Management Committee, and he doesn't feel that it is practical to start playing matches behind closed doors. Cross channel in England, the Premier League won't be considering reducing the length of each half to less than 45 minutes. PFA Chief Executive Gordon Taylor suggested the idea to limit the fatigue on players as the top flight plays catch up following the coronavirus pandemic. However, the Premier League won't implement the change for its final 92 games. English Football League Chairman Rick Parry says he can't envisage a situation where Championship clubs are denied promotion to the Premier League. One idea being discussed is to leave all the teams in the current division if the season can't be completed due to the pandemic. Parry has told the UK Government Committee that it would get very messy if that did happen. Barcelona players will begin to be tested for COVID-19 tomorrow. It's hoped La Liga can resume in mid-June. Initially, Barca training will be limited to groups of 6, then groups of 14, before a return to normality. And it's reported that the Bundesliga could be in line to return on Friday, May 15th. An official confirmation is expected from the German authorities tomorrow. In tennis, former world number one Rafael Nadal does not expect to return to play competitively until 2021. The pandemic has led to the cancellation of Wimbledon and the postponement of the French Open to September, whilst the status of the US Open is still unclear. Nadal has told a Spanish paper that he is preparing for the Australian Open next January, as he feels the 2020 calendar is practically lost. On the rugby front, English RFU boss Bill Swinney says it will be catastrophic if the game isn't played there until the summer of 2021. The pandemic means matches are currently suspended and there are health concerns around the close contact it entails. Swinney's told the Government Committee in the UK today they would need a significant bailout if they can't play internationals because it bankrolls their domestic game. And in other rugby news, Sam Crane is the new captain of the All Blacks. The 68 times capped back row replaces Kieran Reid, who retired at the end of last year's World Cup. Finally this evening in cycling, this year's Vuelta España will finish in November. Cycling's world governing body, the UCI, have released a revised schedule of 25 events for 2020. Racing is due to resume in Italy on August 1st. This year's Giro d'Italia will run from October the 3rd to the 25th, while a shortened Vuelta will run from October 20th in the Basque Country, finishing up on November the 8th. It means that two of the big three cycling events will overlap at the end of October. And that's it from the sports desk for today. Donal, back with more tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Washing. The Exchequer's deficit this month was 7.4 billion euro recorded at the end of April. That compares to just over 3 billion in the same period last year. Tax revenues in April were down 8% or 223 million on April of 2019. Excise receipts fell 50% year on year, nearly 300 million euro, reflecting a fall in consumption and a drop in new car sales. Spending was 2.4 billion more than forecast up to the end of April. That reflects increased government spending in relation to the COVID-19 pandemic. And then a Sean councillor says flight tipping is rampant and remains a major issue under lockdown. After highlighting recent illegal dumping in Lochinvar and Glenagannon recently, Councillor Albert Doherty says he was alerted to three other areas in North Inishowen where people found dumped materials. He says he's very concerned at the situation.
Flight tipping and dumping in rural areas, this has been a significant issue in the lockdown, but it was an issue before the lockdown. And it will remain an issue after the lockdown, and we've certainly got to look as a council at our response, at the enforcements available, but most of all, look at our community and see what is preventing you from using or recycling centres. And, you know, we need either the carrot and stick, but as I said before, the stick needs to be served on those that are carrying out such unruly activities.
These areas where fly tipping and dumping are taking place are close to where families would harvest their turf for the winter.
Yes, I have to pay well done to the council crew who responded when I last highlighted on the Loughan Road and side of Glenagannon. However, in response to that, a number of families who win their turf alerted me to the dumping going on in their areas. And I visited three different locations, two on the edge of the parish of Carndonna and the one on the edge of a neighbouring parish. And you've seen some of the photographs. And I'm afraid to say it is rampant and we need a response. Internally, Donegal County Council must look at ourselves to see, is there anything more we can do? Nationally, government must come on board and there must be some enforcement available. And community-wise, we've got to shame those who believe that fly tipping and dumping in rural areas is acceptable.
And that was Councillor Albert Doherty there speaking to Emma Rose Callaghan. You can see those photographs you refer to on our website, highlandradio.com. And a health and safety consultant in the Northwest says employers north and south are obligated to make COVID-19 updates to their health and safety policies. Employers are being urged to update their safety measures, risk assessments and safety statements to mitigate the risk of COVID-19 as employees prepare to start returning to work in the coming weeks. Safe Team's Paul McLaughlin says when they do, employers will have responsibilities.
From the legislation tells that all risks in the working and the working environment must be assessed. COVID-19 has become our highest risk, not only in the working environment but in society. So employers would need to carry out a risk assessment. And a risk assessment, there's your legal obligation to carry out risk assessments for all risks to ensure that you put adequate controls in place to mitigate those risks. So my advice would be, we would strongly advise at Safe Team, the first thing that if employers aren't certain, what we would do is we would advise them to seek professional advice and to ensure that they're compliant with the legislation. And not only that there, but employers don't want their employees becoming ill or worse. So therefore, employers do want to do this. So what we would say is the first thing that needs to be carried out is a suitable and sufficient risk assessment that has adequate controls to mitigate whatever risks may be encountered in the working environment. If, for example, on the 18th of May, an employer gets the word, you can start back on the 18th of May, they carry out the risk assessment this week or whatever, and again, if they're not sure, seek professional advice. Once you get the risk assessment, that's the basis telling you what you do then. That's your roadmap. One of the first things to do before employees would come in is they need to put in a self-declaration questionnaire. And you need to give this to all your employees and they should submit it. We would recommend strongly that they submit it even before they come to work that day. And that's basically the employees is self-declaring that I am feeling okay. I don't believe, as far as I know, I have any COVID-19 virus. I don't have any symptoms for it. So therefore, I'm declaring that I am fit to come into work.
And that was Paul McLaughlin there. Weather forecast, it'll stay dry for the rest of this evening with bright spells, breezy for a time but moderate to fresh and gusty easterly winds will ease as the evening goes on. Tonight, dry with a mix of cloud and clear spells, cool with lows of 4 to 6 degrees Celsius generally, dripping to as low as 2 or 3 locally inland, a touch of grass frost possible in places. Light east or southeast breezes will be moderate at times near the west coast. Tomorrow will be dry with sunny spells, cloud increasing from the south during the late afternoon and evening. Warmer than today, highs of 16 or 17 degrees Celsius tomorrow in moderate southeast breezes. Looking at the headlines this evening, the UK has overtaken Italy to have the highest number of COVID-19 fatalities in Europe. New figures show 250,000 people with coronavirus have now lost their lives worldwide. Green Party leader Eamon Ryan says he hopes programme for government negotiations will be finished by the end of this month. The discussions will start on Thursday afternoon after discussions today between Eamon Ryan, Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin. An extra 200 people are receiving the special COVID-19 payments in Donegal this week. The number of recipients in the county is now 22,700. Nationally, it's 598,000. And Gardaí have used the COVID-19 enforcement powers 139 times since they were introduced. There have been 52 incidents of spitting or coughing. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday, the 5th of May. The death has taken place of Seamus McGinley, Town Parks, Raphoe. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Kelly's funeral directors, Oakfield, Raphoe. The death has taken place at Nazareth House, Fawn, of Bridget Mary O'Neill, Bonamain, Bridgend. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, funeral is strictly private, for immediate family only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed via Burt, Fawn and Inch Facebook page. The death has occurred of Michael Teague, formerly of Lochdurg Road, Pettigo. Due to current HSE restrictions, all funeral gatherings, funeral mass and burial are private to family members only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Mary's Meals, care of Father Eamon Kelly, Raphoe. The death has taken place in Coventry, England, of David Braden, formerly of Cooley, Moville. Funeral service will take place in England at a date to be confirmed. The death has taken place of Patrick McIntyre, 447 Milltown Convoy, formerly of Roskeer, Lifford. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. Family flowers only, donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society Donegal branch, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. The death has taken place of Annabel B. Brigine McDermott, née Johnson, 34 Coolmore Road, Derry. Due to current government restrictions, the funeral arrangements are strictly private, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed via the link www.mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Patrick's Pennyburn. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Joseph's Young Priest Society, care of W.J. O'Brien and Son, funeral directors.